If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine light and love of the Most Radiant One. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our seminar topic is, what's going to happen to me? So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward into the radiant and eternal light that you are. And when you ask that question, as so many of you seem to be doing at this time, what's going to happen to me? Which you are you asking about? Are you concerned about your physical body? The you that's your feelings? The you that's your thoughts? The you that's your particular position in life or your income bracket? And when you wonder what is going to happen to you, look really carefully at where you might have placed a concern about that. Really take a look. What are you concerned about? I'll bet it's your physical body, isn't it? You wonder, so very many of you, will you be able to survive what the future may bring? I'll just take a look and see if that's so for you. Because, you know, if it's like the elephant in the room, it's not going to go away. And it's only in confronting our fears, our doubts, our insecurities, and really beginning to question that part of us that doesn't feel safe, that doesn't feel secure. How could that possibly apply to anything but the fiction that you have dreamt that you were in time and space? This whole fictional scenario that seems so vividly real, but every enlightened being that's ever marched across this planet or currently lives on this planet has said that it is an illusion. It feels real, it seems real, it looks real, but then so does a dream when you're having it, doesn't it? Haven't you ever had a dream so vivid that you were shocked when you awakened? Maybe even weeping for the loss of someone or something in that dream. And weren't you, when you finally had your cup of coffee and you finally got in your body and you finally got integrated, weren't you kind of glad that it was just a dream? Well, according to the enlightened and the wise, that's exactly how we're going to feel when we awaken from this daydream, which is just as much a dream as the dreams you have at night when you go to sleep. And what you're doing in both cases is recycling conditioned energy, conditioned emotional energy, conditioned physical energy, and conditioned mental energy. And to the degree that you're confined in that level, you will experience some degree of discomfort, dis-ease, pain, fear, and compression. It's so important to realize that. Let your lack of full joy and sense of complete security is due only because you're trying to make a fictional life defined by limitation work for you when you've in fact outgrown it. Cosmic energies and solar emissions are raising the vibration of every single atom of creation. Nothing excluded. And what that means is that we are rapidly outgrowing everything that has confined and defined us in the prior age. So the golden age or the new age or the new earth, however you wish to language that, is simply the level to which we are currently being birthed into, and we are being cast out of, extruded, thrust in one form or another, by change into this new area. It's been likened to a birthing process. But whatever metaphor you use to describe it, to make sense of it to yourself, what's going to happen to you is change. But that's nothing new. Haven't we always been told by those wise ones that impermanence is the nature of all things? Impermanence is the nature of all form. Even though it's imperceptible to us, we are not the same person from one second to the next. You go to sleep tonight, and only your conditioned patterns awaken in the morning. But you, as a spirit, have changed. But you'll return to those conditioned patterns. Why? Because they're familiar. Because we don't quite know how to resurrect from the tomb of sleep as a new Christ consciousness in each day. We don't quite know how to awaken as the Lord each morning. So we awaken as Tom, Dick, Harry, Athena, whatever. But the person that went to sleep is not the same person that wakes up in the morning. Just be aware of that. Have tea with it. Check it out. Cozy up to it. Scrutinize it. It's going to have some very interesting keys. You know, people throughout the years have come requesting personal sessions with me. In the late 80s up until, oh, around 2000, the request was usually, who am I at a galactic level, and what's my mission on Earth? But since 2001, and especially today, with it being 2011, and with the rapid approach of 2012, the question that most have come and want an answer to is, what's going to happen to me? Am I going to be safe, quote, quote, in whatever is going to happen? And you know, there's so many spins out there, and you know what? There's not a person on the planet that really knows what's going to happen. There are many fanatical Looney Tunes that will get people who are afraid to think for themselves into their cult and indoctrinate them into their belief system. I hope none of you are in that category. Surely you're not if you've listened to me long enough. I don't promote following anyone but yourself. Or Jesus Christ is the only one I can think of that's totally reliable as a guide. But to follow Jesus Christ is the same as following yourself. So it doesn't much matter. Jesus is simply another metaphor for who you are when you fully awaken as the Son of God. So, you know, I think after 2001, we had such a paradigm shift that up until that time, we really believed, including myself, that we were moving into a collective golden age, that somehow we had bypassed the dire earth changes and the things that were prophesied earlier. Somehow we had, you know, bypassed that, and that we were going to be co-creating a world that reflected cooperation and harmony and ever-increasing goodness and well-being for all. So 2001 was a real disillusionment, a real shock. And, you know, the following war in Iraq, when we thought, I thought, many of us thought, we had outgrown the possibility of there ever being a war again. I think many of us just sat glued and stunned and saddened as we watched the news, which they played over and over and over, and are still playing over and over because we can't quite get over it. It was like the day that our happy dream ended for so many of us. But you know what? You can never lose what's real. You can only lose the illusion. Imprint that somewhere. You can only lose the illusion. You can never lose what is real. But anyway, we were disillusioned. And then we began to see so very many polarizing beliefs began to emerge. We saw them in the New Age movement, and we saw them in just about every area of our world. We saw political and religious and cultural and economic and scientific polarizations. And people became very, very invested in the rightness of their persuasion and the wrongness of others. So instead of being a more unified world, it seemed to become a more polarized world. And today, that polarization is just everywhere you look. You know, throughout the years, one of the things I've enjoyed is looking at the world through different cultural valences, different belief systems, different religious perspectives. And in my 20-some trips around the world, I've had the opportunity to sample many, many lifestyles, many, many religious traditions, many ways of living life, and preferential lifestyles. And, you know, with each culture, these beliefs can be seen to reverse the polarities that they hold about what is good and what is not good, or what is perceived as evil and what is perceived as righteous. Very interesting. And some of these polarities reverse so dramatically that visiting some of these areas of the world requires your learning to see in a complete polar opposite way to the way perhaps you normally would. So I've enjoyed visiting lands with very different cultural values and lifestyles. But I always found it, you know, really easy to blend into cultures and to meld with its prevailing values and beliefs. And the reason, my daughter asked me one time why I found that easy. And I said, well, to me, the whole world is my home. And everywhere I go, I'm with my family. So I feel safe wherever I travel. I've never, ever felt like somebody was going to take advantage of me or rob me or rape me or do anything. You know, I walk everywhere. It just doesn't cross my mind. Why? Well, for one thing, my wonderful teachers, John Roger and Sai Baba and the Lord Jesus, have really taught me how to live from an open heart. I have an open heart chakra. which has now expanded until it's my whole body and my whole lifestyle and my whole aura. And I say that only because that is where we need to live from to feel really safe in this world. And I can say that from my own personal experience because I also have lived from a closed heart chakra and from fear and insecurity. I think you have to have both experiences to really have a reference point for the difference it makes to live from an open heart. Now, what most people call an open heart is not an open heart at all. Because if you experience emotional pain, you're not in an open heart. You're in an open solar plexus chakra. And when you're living from a solar plexus chakra, you get emotionally hurt. That's where that hurt comes from. It feels like a heartache, but it's not a heartache. It's coming from your emotional chakra, your emotional center, your astral body. So close the tummy and open the heart. Because if you live from an open solar plexus chakra, you'll empath every vibration in your environment, and it will have a draining effect on you. That's how you can tell you're living from your emotional center, is that you feel drained and enervated from interactions with people. The heart chakra is like its own protection. And again, the heart isn't just that organ beating in your chest, nor am I speaking simply about the spiritual heart in your chest. I'm speaking about the opened higher chakras and centers, which also have a heart chakra within the crown chakra. Those petals open that reveal the transmuted essence of the lower heart chakra. So it's living from that full bouquet, as I call it, that opened thousand-petal lotus and above, that higher consciousness. And it comes from living a life raw and vulnerable and out there and risking and getting hurt and getting bruised and battered and learning from your direct experience what it means to live full on without guards, without walls, without erecting some sort of a buffer. I've lived like that. I call it living a tantric life, where you have a full-hearted, passionate relationship with everything that you do in your life. That's easy for me. I'm a Scorpio. But regardless of your what you are and how your personality is put together. Not all of you have the same nature I have. But we all have that ability to live life from active goodwill. That's another way you could language an open heart. Active, proactive goodwill. With malice towards none. That's an important caveat there. With malice toward none. So an open heart chakra allows you to understand the heart of others. It reveals the heart of situations. It indicates to you the right place to go, to live, the things to do, the people to interact with. Your heart literally becomes your guru when it's opened and filled with God, with love of God and love of humanity. That's why the teachings of Jesus said, the most important law is where to live is to love God with all of our heart, mind, and strength, with all of our soul, and to love our fellow man as our own self. That is another way of practicing active goodwill. So perhaps it takes a lot more living for some of you souls to get to that place. I'm not here to read your beads, you are. Only you are authorized to read your beads and to assess your spiritual condition. But if you're quaking and quivering in front of the TV watching CNN and the things that are coming upon the planet, and you're worried sick because you haven't been able to find work for 2, 3, 4 years, as some of my friends are doing, if some of you have been evicted, like some of my friends, if some of you have no income, and don't know where or how you're going to get income, you might want to try another approach. What you're trying is not working. So, as I always say, open that heart. And to open it, you have to accept that a higher power than yourself is in control, cares about you, and can be accessed by you directly from your heart. So that open heart allows empathy to be present with you, which is the ability to see from another's perspective. And you know, when without empathy, we will always have the clashing of worldviews, which will inevitably lead to warfare in some manner. So when you ask me what's going to happen to me, really what you're asking is what's going to happen in the future with regards to my job. What's going to happen in the future in my relationships, in my finances? What's going to happen in my geographical area? Am I going to be safe where I'm living? So this very curiosity reveals general misconceptions that are in your mind when you're in that state. Number one, it reveals that somewhere you feel you have no responsibility whatsoever, nor creative hand in what takes place in your future. And I would have to wonder if you have taken into consideration that vital to your feeling safe and secure in this world is a live personal relationship with the divine. But have you as that as your most pressing need? I don't think in all the years I've done work with people, I've ever had a single person come to me and say, my most pressing, deepest desire is to know and love God more. I don't think I've ever had anyone ask me that. That's very telling. I'm very sad, because that must be your absolute obsession, your magnificent obsession, is to know the God that gave you life, that is the life that you think is yours. You don't even own your body. You don't own your life. You have no control over your breathing and keeping your heart beating for the next hour. And to give no thought to that is amazing to me. And number two, you know, people want to be reassured about having their desired outcome take place. How few people are in that stage where they can see, they can say honestly, thy will be done, Lord, I trust you. I know that whatever you bring me to, you're going to bring me through. Oh, what a place to rest your consciousness. When you know that you live and move and have your being in God, and that all is well. But no, people basically want that perfect job. You know, the one with all the benefits, the company car, the credit card for gas, a fabulous paycheck. And they want that perfect lover, that perfect soulmate and spiritual companion. But, you know, they keep meeting people that are their karmic perfect match. They don't want that. They wouldn't know what to do with their soulmate. That's why there's very few people that have found their soulmate. They're not at a level where they could actually attract a genuine mate. They're still in the karmic working out of their personality ego differences. So people want to be assured that they will be financially secure in the future. That's kind of almost something that you could hear hysterical laughter in the background from God. They want to be assured that they will live in a safe area to survive and thrive, whatever happens to the earth. Hello. They had tornadoes today in the east coast of America, in the Boston area, Massachusetts. Hello. Who has tornadoes. Who has tornadoes on the east coast? Today we have tornadoes everywhere. They can come in any second. You don't even know they're there. Next thing you know, your car is going around like Judy Garland, and Follow the Yellow Brick Road, whatever that movie was. So, these questions come from people who are ignorant or out of touch with the purpose of life on this earth, which is to offer a variety of experiences, challenges, and obstacles, which we find ways to meet, confront, surmount, and overcome. And this is exactly how we develop spiritual strength, proficiency, and mastery. Here is something that, you'd really benefit from remembering. I know I do. This is something that you can hang your hat on. When your life becomes too confined and too small for your level of spiritual proficiency, you yourself, your soul, the universe itself, will orchestrate change. So change is the proof, the very proof, that you have outgrown where you're at. So you yourself as a spiritual being will orchestrate some means of breaking yourself out of any area in which you've become complacent, stagnant, confined, shut down, non-productive, non-creative, Whatever place you've gotten stuck in, you, as a spirit, as a soul, will find a way to set yourself free from it. But that personality human in the lower levels is sure not going to want that to happen, because it looks like you've lost your job. It looks like you're, down to your last few bucks. It may look like the one you loved and thought would be with you forever, ho, 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 has just gone off with someone else. It may look like all sorts of horrible things in the physical, and you yourself have orchestrated it for your own highest good at a higher level. So for many people today, that change is occurring physically and financially, and in many cases in a matter of seconds. A flash flood, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, whatever, or terrorism or war, and all of a sudden you're sitting with nothing. Everything that you've expended your life, and in many cases your whole soul for, it's not there. It's gone in a second. So you're left only with yourself, or your body and your soul, if you happen to live through the change, or just your soul if you pass on to the other side in the process. So for many of us, for many decades, I would say, we've experienced a relatively stable world. We've had pretty good weather, normal weather, and economy-wise, people have been buying and selling and acquiring and maintaining and acquiring and more acquiring and, been doing life. And all of a sudden, we're experiencing things I've never experienced before. And their whole lives, all of a sudden, they may be experiencing being hungry or homeless. And that's where, you really, really need to pull forth a greater strength and a greater skill set than what you've had going before in the complacency of quasi-normalcy. I think what we can expect from now on is that things will be very, very different. And this planet is a school of diversity, of experiencing polarized perspectives and learning from them, and adversity, and overcoming adversity. Many years ago, I heard a statement from the Ascended Master Moria that has stuck in my mind. He said, "Blessed be the obstacles through which we achieve." And being a first-ray master, he's very, very much for facing difficulties and emerging as a spiritual warrior through them. But the average human wants security, comfort, and things to be easy all the time with no challenges and no disruption. Hello, dream on. We all volunteered to be here during the most dramatic change ever. The end of a 26,000-year cycle. Whoa! The emergence of an entirely new Earth. And yet we want to plan our weddings and attend our sporting events and have our vacations and our perfect weather and on and on. And we want to be young and gorgeous forever. But that's not realistic on planet Earth. In the higher dimensions of Venus, yes. Earth, no. So if you want that, you've come to the wrong planet. Here, everything is impermanent. Change occurs every second. And everything that is born into this dimension comes with a point at which it will die from this dimension and leave this dimension empty-handed. No matter how powerful or fabulously wealthy, you will depart here with nothing. So, what is going to happen to you? Well, what is going to happen to you? This is what's going to happen to you. Things are going to change. All things in your life are going to change. Everything in your particular nation, in your area, in your world is going to change. Everything. Your country's economy, your country's government, it's going to change. In some instances, overnight. And with these changes, you will be either physically here to continue on, and you will find new friends and ways to cope, and life will continue, or you will choose to leave your body, and you will find others, and life will continue in other dimensions. And you will adjust, and you will continue as a soul, with or without your physical body. So why worry about these things? You didn't remember before you came here, where you left before you came here, was not a worry to you. That doesn't concern you. So why should you worry about things that are so natural, so normal, so organic, so intrinsic in the nature of form itself? Why should you be concerned about these things? So what you can expect in your future is change. What you can expect in your financial situation is change. What you can expect in your relationships is change. So perhaps the very best question we could ever ask one who is perhaps more experienced as a soul would be, what do I need to realize and embrace in order to remain centered and divinely connected and at peace, regardless of what happens or doesn't happen, now or in the future? Very important. So do you have peace of mind right now? There is a way to secure it and make sure that you have it so that whatever happens, you don't have to worry. So if you do not have peace of mind right now, I'll bet it's because you're not at peace with yourself. which means you're not at peace with your relationships, your past, or with someone or others in your life. So take a look. Do you have absolute 100% peace of mind? And let me ask you, if you're not entirely at peace within yourself, do you harbor any regrets over what has happened in your past? Do you harbor any guilt, shame, or blame? Do you blame anyone for what has happened to you and where you are today in your life? What do you need to let go of and surrender to God and forgive and release to make peace with your past? Whatever that is, do it. Anything that feels less than clear, calm, serene, energetically delightful is an area you need to look into. It is calling for your attention and resolution. When your house collapses around your ears and so many splinters, you're not going to have time. God forbid that that happens, but if it does happen, you're not going to have time to do these things. So if you have time to sit down and listen to the seminar tonight, take the time to do the needful to come into the peace of God that you need to be in, to give yourself the best chance of moving through whatever the future brings to you. So your relationship with yourself and with others simply reflects your relationship with God. So to be at peace with yourself and with others, you need to find peace with God. Are you blaming God in any of your areas of blame? That seems preposterous to me that people would do that, but you hear people all the time blaming God for the bad things that happen in the world, not realizing that the world operates according to natural laws that are originally set in place by God. But then, man, in his consciousness, is what causes things to be as they are on earth. We were given custodianship and full responsible stewardship for this earth, for managing it and being its caretakers. So the very first place to start, and it's so easy, most people don't even realize how vitally important it is to make peace with God by asking God to forgive you. And sincerely say, I repent. I'm really sorry for every lousy, mean, sinful, stupid, dumb, whatever thing I ever did in my life. Whatever I did to hurt myself or another, I am so sorry. And I ask you to forgive me and wipe my slate clean and wash me white as snow. I ask you to reestablish me in a right relationship with you, with myself, and with others. And you know, God is faithful to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future, and to wash you white as snow. But you must repent and ask God to redeem and restore you. You know, he's not going to drag you kicking and screaming. But once you've done that, you're certain that you're going to be in the higher divine realms when you cross over and pass from this body. You're promised that you will be in heaven with the Lord. If you love the Lord, if you've chosen the Lord, and you have received full pardon, then you can step free of this old karmic trap. Forget trying to work out your karma. You'll be here till hell freezes over. You better take divine pardon now while you got it. It was brought onto the earth by Jesus Christ for you, just for these times. Because time's up, we don't have time to work out karma anymore. We don't have time to keep recycling and reincarnation. Enough already. Step free through grace. And then, you know, after you've made peace with God, if you can make amends or apologize or do whatever you can do with the people that you've offended or hurt or whatever, or you can email them or write them letters or whatever, do that. And if they're in spirit, you can still write them a letter and burn it. Or you can express your forgiveness by visualizing them sitting across from you at a table and telling them how you feel in your mind. And they will receive the energy of that. So that way you set yourself free from your past and in your regrets when you didn't have a chance to have closure with those who've already gone over. So you can never be at peace as long as you hold anything against anyone else. And it can be so subtle, so don't fool yourself. You know, we're really, really good at justifying and lying to ourselves. And self-deception is the worst form of deception, because that's really shooting yourself in the foot. So if you're not at peace, locate the grievance, the shame, the blame, the guilt, and forgive and release it. And know that whatever you have released in another, you have released in yourself. And likewise, whatever you hold against another, you have withheld from yourself. So in order for us to progress and grow, we need to go beyond where we have been confined. Let me give you an example. A tiny chick, when it outgrows its eggshell, will work persistently to peck its way out of the outgrown shell. But if, in a misguided effort to assist the chick, you break the chick's eggshell for it, it will die because it needs that struggle to peck its way free to assure its survival. That's how it gets strength. And the same principle applies to the transformation of a caterpillar. When it's formed its cocoon and it's getting ready to emerge as a butterfly, if you try to help that process by cutting the cocoon open, the butterfly will die. So in nature, you see this principle again and again reenacted. It is the effort that you exert to get out of your problem, your challenge, your situation, to overcome your obstacle, whatever that obstacle is for you. And it's very individual. Whatever your confined place is, your effort to meet and match and overcome and transcend that area is the strength that you will need to survive in the next level. Imprint that strongly. In the human life, we achieve our strength, our ability, and our skill by pushing the envelope of our capacity. And if you've noticed, in each generation, we seem to go beyond what the previous generation achieved. In each season, new records are established. So we are the generation that will see the return of the Christ, however you want to interpret that. We are the generation that will witness the greatest shift that's ever occurred on this planet. We are the generation that is living through the most momentous earth changes this planet has ever had to face. So today our world has outgrown every single one of its former systems. So our approach to 2012 signals not our destruction, but our breaking free of many of our confining, obsolete systems of how we've lived, which really aren't working. As long as you have people who have a lot and people who are starving to death and have no quality of life or future whatsoever, how can that be a world that works? So we're going to discover new ways, ways that are unknown to us right now. And we won't find those ways by trying to recreate the past and repeat the same old patterns in our life. So we've got to greet this change with some courage and with some vision and some daring do, because we're going to have to try a lot of things, many of which won't work. And we'll toss them aside and try something else until we do. But we have outgrown the very things that many are struggling right now to preserve and to keep going, even though it's obvious that it's a losing battle. But we can and we will discover new ways to live and share life on this planet. And we will learn to live as open-hearted individuals without prejudice. We won't have againstness against any race, any creed, any color, any culture, or any lifestyle preference. We will learn to understand the hearts of others by living from our own open hearts. We'll learn to allow souls to have the experiences they need to feel whole and complete in themselves without judging what those experiences are. So the open heart is the golden heart, and the golden-hearted ones will birth the golden age on earth. And the golden age is present wherever unconditional loving is being lived and presented. So the golden age is a choice we make now, and it requires nothing other than our personal resolution to live in the golden age now. So several useful suggestions would be, number one, learn to give no answer to ignorance. Don't think you have to answer to the negative comments and opinions of others. Don't put energy into it. Remain silent, just like Jesus did in front of his accusers. The less you say, sometimes the better. Don't fuel the fire. Number two, don't use information against yourself. I often see people find out a little bit of information, and immediately they'll use it to discredit themselves, to criticize themselves, to see themselves in less than a divine light. And they disrupt their own peace. They torment their minds with thoughts of self-doubt or jealousy or anger or confusion or other reactive opinions or entering into controversies that are none of their business, that don't mean anything. So use all things to uplift yourself and others. Use everything as a stepping stone to higher consciousness. Number three, the best way you can face and flow with whatever the future brings your way is to stay centered and calm. Take one day, one step at a time. Keep calm and handle what you need to handle today. You will always have the resources to handle here and now. You don't have the resources to handle the future today. But the future is made up of here and now, and here and now, and here and now. My strong advice to you, to all of you, is to cease following others. There's no need to follow anyone. Live your own life. Have your direct communication with the Lord within your heart. Do the best you know how with what you got to do with. And don't join cults. Cults is where some leader tells you how to live your life and enforces it by creating some sort of a fear-based belief system that if you don't do it, something bad will happen to you. That's a cult. Get out of it. Don't become fanatical in someone else's reality agenda. I think one of the most dangerous mindsets is fanaticism. Be true to your own convictions, your own life, your experiences, your knowing. But don't allow others to throw you off your path, the one that is working for you. And you know your path is working for you when you become a kinder and more loving and more empathetic and more compassionate and a more joy-filled human being. Then you're on a good path. A path without love is a path to hell. What is hell? A place without love. Don't go there. Stay grounded. Stay connected to the earth. Live a balanced life and learn to enjoy each day. Each day has its own delight, its own spirit of blessing. Every day the Lord comes to you in a million different guises for you to love and delight and laugh and have fun. You will never be given anything you can't handle. Ever, beloved, never. Everything you need will always be within your reach. You have everything you need in your present life right now to create a glorious future. If you create it with God, it will be a glorious future. Everything you dedicate to God is rendered holy and pure. So make your whole life kosher. Offer it to God. And about the things that are offered in your life, you don't have to do anything about everything. Some things you can do things with, and some you just allow that to be what it is. You don't have to fix other people. You don't have to pay their bills, unless that is something that you're guided by your inner spirit to do. You don't have to make things right for people. That's their own job to do for themselves. They need to make themselves right with themselves and with God. They need to learn the lesson of meeting the challenges of their particular life. Don't try to cut them out of the cocoon. Don't try to break their eggshell. Allow every soul the dignity to do what they need to do, but you model the best that you can as an example. Be a source of strength so others can derive strength from you. Be a source of inspiration and enthusiasm and loving so other people can catch the vibe. The way you raise your vibration is to increase your love. Love and high vibration go hand in hand. Love and high vibration and survival go hand in hand. Love and high vibration and living in grace will deliver you from all kinds of things that you will not have to go through because you have outgrown the challenge that those situations will present. So there are many souls that will go through things because they need to. They haven't learned the lesson yet. They're still pecking their way out of their shell of confinement. That's why you have to be true to yourself and follow your own path. You can't look at any other soul on the planet and really base your life on how they're living. So, this is very, very wise to do. And I think perhaps the wisest thing is sometimes is doing nothing but allowing nature to take its course. I know many of us worry about our children, but you know, if you've had a child that's born on this planet since the 80s, they're one of the special children, and if you've had a baby born since 2000, they're really one of the golden age. They're one of the golden-hearted ones. So the crystal children have been born since 2000, and the indigo since the 80s. So why in the world should you worry about your kids? They're hardwired to survive and succeed and be glorious in these times. So give your children over to God and don't worry about them. As far as what's happening on the earth, the main thing to be aware of is the water level on the earth will continue to rise as the poles continue to melt. And that will impact coastlines worldwide and islands worldwide. And that's happening as I speak and very rapidly. Does that mean you need to move? Not unless you're guided to. But pay attention to your guidance. The other thing is the necessity of finding non-fossil sources of fuel. It's a fact. So those of you in fossil fuel-related work may want to consider the need to reinvent your source and manner of income. And this applies to many areas of life that are at present tottering or actually on the brink of becoming obsolete. So pay attention. The economy that we know, as we know it today, is in process as we speak of dramatically changing worldwide. And along with it, the whole world will change very, very soon. But we will band together. We will help one another. We will survive, and we will move on and into a more humane, a more workable, and a more cooperative world. And yes, we can outgrow war. So what's going to happen to you? You can live in the heart of God now. Move in. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Anai Hu, which will open that heart. Deep breath. Anai Hu. And listening to Commander Lady Athena of the Ashtar Galactic Command. Wishing you Godspeed, God's blessings, and may you know the peace of God that will always keep you secure. Adonai.